Hi, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told Transformation, bringing you tools for transformation to live your highest truth. I'd like to start this talk with speaker and wise man Eric Rankin with a quote from his video, Sonic Geometry, the second chapter of that. He says, "Do you want to live in discord on this planet or retune, and participate in the symphony of creation?" Symphony. I mean, what a great word, right? I mean, you think about harmonics of when you think of watching a symphony. So we're going to talk about Eric's discoveries around energy, frequency, and form. Welcome to Truth Be Told Transformation, Eric.
Hi. Thank you, Bonnie. It's great to be here with you.
Cheers. So diving right in. I think I'd like to ask you, you know, it's funny, we were doing a little pre-call talking, and he said, you know, probably as recently as 10 years ago, this was all very, very new to me. So, Eric, sacred geometry, how it informs sound. Tell me how you made this discovery.
Well, it came to me in a flash. I'd already been sort of interested in dolphins. I'd written a book about dolphins, and the more I did research on it, I came aware that they are masters of frequency. On this planet, they are far more advanced than we'll ever be because their physiology is different. We hear sounds in the low hundreds of hertz into the low thousands of hertz, and dolphins hear in the tens of thousands of hertz, all the way up to 80,000. So that means 80,000 little vibration waves per second, and that's what we call ultrasound. And dolphins are capable of using that technique of ultrasound to seeing into objects, including each other. So they could see if another dolphin was pregnant or had cancer or had heart issues. And it's like living truly transparently. And that just opened up my mind and kind of heart at the same time of how crazy is this idea of living a transparent life. So I became very interested in frequency. I started going out to this structure called the integratron. I don't know if you are we sharing screens at all or yeah there so there's a picture of the integratron, and I have been leading groups there for about 10 years and kind of honing some research, some ideas about the power of frequency. The integratron is a frequency activated machine, both in electromagnetic waves and sound waves and in actual physical vibration. And it was, I'm sure, the beginning of that research where I was actually on the hunt for particular significant waves of sound frequencies that I built this body of evidence that I called sonic geometry. And that was birthed out of a crazy experience I had in 2012. So we're getting very close to the exact 10-year anniversary. And I was guided by an actual voice I could hear to go into my conference room and draw a triangle. And I thought, who am I listening to? Who am I hearing? And what am I doing? I have a board set up in my office. I said, I don't know why I did that, but I did it. And they're like, whatever this voice was, said, no, now make note of the sum total of its angles. And I failed geometry in high school. I failed pretty much all math. Geometry and physics were not on my radar at all. But I knew a sum total I remembered of a triangle of its three angles will always be 180. And then the last thing I heard was play that as a tone. And I'm like, play that as a tone? How do I do that? But you know, now we're all holding these incredible computers on our hand with all these applications. And sure enough, there are many applications where you can generate tones in hertz cycles. So I quickly downloaded an app that was a tone generator, and I played 180 cycles per second. And I heard this tone, just call it, and I'm like, well, there it is. And then we were off to the races, because here's the triangle. Three sides will always total 180. And when I did that, they said, keep going. And the keep going process turned into an unraveling, or I thought I was either opening up into the keys of the universe or losing my mind, or both. This is a transcription of everything I wrote on that whiteboard within about 2 hours.
This is, for those of you that happen to be listening on the podcast, please come to our YouTube channel and see some of these incredible I mean, Eric, this is from when it really happened, right then?
This is
your
it.
Exploration.
This is the birthday. This is the event. I don't always share this this particular diagram, but this is the one that is what sonic geometry became, and I became sort of obsessed with the information in it, because not only did I have to look up the sum totals of all other geometric shapes, from a triangle, square, circle, pentagon, hexagon, septagon, seven sides, octagon. But what was very interesting is when I played the tones, I had to look up the sum totals of those other geometric shapes. They played either a da or a da, da. And that's a major chord in music. That is the most comforting form of music that there can, that exists in Western tuned music. Mm. And I'm like, how crazy is it that no matter what one of those shapes you're playing, you're going to hear one of those three tones? Meaning that geometry, if physicists are correct, and geometry is the true nature and structure of not only everything in the universe, but including us, how crazy is it that geometry reveals major chord harmonics that it seems like we are programmed in our ears and brains to give us an affirmation that everything is correct? When you hear a major chord in a movie, it means something good is happening.
Yes.
Angels are singing, the triumphant king and queen are coming out, the couple is falling in love. And if you hear like a minor chord, it's danger or threatening. So I'm like, how crazy is it that geometry is revealing these major tone harmonics? It's like a holy trinity.
Yeah.
Tones. So I jumped up from my chair before I drew all these images, and I Google searched and web page searched, you know, 10 years ago, major chord harmonics, geometric forms. In any combination, I could do that search, and I did not find one match. And I'm like, that's crazy. This seems like such a fundamental thing to have stumbled upon, not discovered, but stumbled upon. But in the ensuing 10 years, I became the guy that discovered that geometry plays a major chord. And from then, that's where Ancient Aliens appearances have come from, and Speaking at Contact in the Desert, and all these other shows, Gaia TV. It's just been an amazing ride that I kind of pinch myself and can't believe, but it all stemmed from the discovery that geometrics reveal major tone triads.
Well, there you go. Listening to that inner voice, that inner guidance on this, Eric, you know, having the courage to explore this. Okay, so you mentioned Ancient Aliens. How did that apply? Because I know there's perhaps a, you know, you can look in the history of this, right? I mean, there's some fascinating history.
Absolutely. So we'll jump forward to a few of these numbers. And just talking about these numbers, what happened was there was a tone grid that showed up. And some of these numbers I recognized in this tone grid that was revealed by geometric structures. And one of the numbers stood out in my vision right away was 432. It wasn't the sum total of any one geometric form, but in the midst of this grid that held all those geometric forms, like a tuning scale, was 432 right in the middle of it. And I had become aware before this, because I am a musician and I'm familiar with tuning systems, but there's this mystery number, 432, that this is a picture of Joseph Campbell, probably the most famous mythologist in the world. He wrote The Hero's Journey and Hero with a Thousand Faces. And he came across this number 432 in his research all over the world, that he's like, what is happening here? What is going on? And what it seems like could be going on is that we have somehow been gifted these numbers and a particular math system and the first written language all around these number sequences. So I'm going to really quickly go through one. That this is a number that's also encoded in that grid. 72 is would be a D major or a D note. And in many different mythologies, we see the number of 72. So in Judeo-Christian teachings, 72 names of God. In Egypt history, in Egyptian history, Osiris was dismembered and rebuilt into 72, from fragmented into 72 pieces and then rebuilt. In Hinduism, there's a famous battle of 72 jinns battling 72 evil spirits. In the Quran, in Islam, there's 72 virgins waiting for martyrs who die for a holy cause. In Buddhism, the largest Buddhist temple in the world has these 72 structures outlying the entire temple complex. And these bell-like huge structures are called stupas. And even in our history, American history, the Capitol building in Washington, the dome of it, features a mural of George Washington ascending into heaven with 13 angels representing the 13 original colonies. But framing the entire mural is exactly 72 stars. So here's a perfect example of mathematical mythology. That's what Joseph Campbell called it. And it seems like there was a hint to get us to this mathematical mythology. And it started with a counting system that guided us to not only the interval of what a second is today, the time interval, so that gives us the interval that we measure current frequencies by, but it gave us many different frequencies. It gave us 72, 144, 360, 432, half of that, 216, half of that, 108. These are numbers that show up all over the place in our myths and religions. A mala necklace.
The mala beads, yeah, for
has
sure.
108 mala beads. Buddha, the young Buddha that most people think has these little curly curls on his head, not the big fat grinning Buddha, but the young fit meditating Buddha.
Yeah.
Aren't curls of hair on his head, that's 108 snails that climbed up on his head to cool him while he meditated in the hot sun. So it's just crazy. So, but we go back in time and say, all right, if there's a unique counting system that guided to us to these frequencies, these numbers, this way to measure time and distance, where did humanity learn this counting system? Well, we can go back in time and pretty much pinpoint the time and place that humanity was exposed to this counting system. So roughly 6,000 years ago, even though there are archaeological sites around the world that kind of offer other evidence that humanity or someone was building monolithic structures prior to 6,000 years ago, but we didn't have a written language to support any kind of evidence gathering. And at that time, 6,000 years ago, it is true that most of the human experience was what we call hunter-gatherer. So people were not farming, they were just gathering food that was available to eat. Water, they weren't gathering, they had to be near freshwater sources. Clothing was animal skins, making very rudimentary tools. Their housing was very temporary, like teepees or huts. And then in one place, in one time, roughly 6,000 years ago, you have this explosive period of invention. And it is true invention is not the tweaking of old technology or old inventions. It is the arrival on Earth of all these new things. And some of them I can point out, it is the first plow. It's the first arch, it's the first sailboat, the first beer, the first written language, what we call a 1260 counting system. It's just first loomed weave fabric, the first wheeled and axled vehicle, first spinning wheel to make pottery. It's just incredible that all these things showed up at the same time. And like, how in the world could one place and one time launch all these technologies? And we can read their records. They still exist. We didn't even know this writing called cuneiform from 6,000 years ago existed up until about 150 years ago. And we have found now tens of thousands of these small clay tablets that were imprinted upon while they were still wet and then baked in the sun to harden. And many of them are in perfect condition that we found in the Sumerian region of the Middle East. And these people were good myth makers. They had their stories. The Epic of Gilgamesh is the first hero's journey story, almost the first novel in human history. But there are other times when these people were writing in a very factual way. And they said, we did not invent these things. There were visitors who came from the sky and showed us these things, showed us this counting system. They showed us this technology, how to build these things. And this is a famous mural from the Sumerian region. And this is a perfect example of archaeology and academia wanting to follow its own study and always wanting to feel like we've discovered all the correct answers. So when you look at this mural, archaeologists will tell you that these are not sky visitors. These are regular old humans standing by a tree, celebrating agriculture. They're carrying these little seed bags. They're holding pieces of fruit that they have harvested. The winged thing over the plant is a fancy representation for the sun, because of course the sun gives life to all things, including plants. But if you start looking closely at this mural, you will see that that thing that they're calling a tree, if you look to the lower left of it, you can see definitely it has a hand crank that almost looks like a giant jack-in-the-box.
Yes.
So this is no longer a plant. This is a device of some sort. And these little purses that two of these people are carrying are represented all over the world in all these advanced culture sites, like in the Mayan culture. You will see beings holding these same exact little bags. The oldest archaeological structure we've found, monolithic, is in Turkey, in Göbekli Tepe, and it's 12,000 years old, at least 6,000 years older than the Great Pyramids of Giza. And there are figures holding these exact little bags. And we don't know what these little bags hold, but they seem to be mysteriously connected. If you look at the figures holding these, what instead of fruit, it kind of looks like a pine cone. And all of a sudden, we recognize that we have a pine structure in our brain, the pineal gland. And there were no pine cones in Sumeria 6,000 years ago, just like there aren't today. It's a desert now, it was a desert then. So they weren't growing pine trees and having these pine cones. So it all, the whole thing seems to be hinting at something like the ancient alien theory, and to take very seriously this idea of these people. How else could they launch all these technologies and they themselves say this is where they came from, and offer all these other proofs and very intriguing hints, almost like codes and keys and clues that we were supposed to wake up to someday and employ in some specific fashion. So that's been my quest for 10 years, and I'm still on it.
Right, and little did you know when you were just informing yourself about sound and form that it would take this, it would go this deep. It goes this far back. This is ancient wisdom here.
This is ancient wisdom, and here's the thing. That makes it not just another theory that may or a hypothesis that may or may not be true. Because after we made the first sonic geometry video, and I didn't think there'd be 1,000 people that watched it, much less 5 million people that have watched them now. And I didn't get a lot of trolls or negative comments. In fact, I got a lot of incredible responses from actual physicists and mathematicians and people that were working with frequency. And they said, it feels like you're really onto something, but you're kind of shoehorning evidence that fits your idea. And like how to measure a second. A second, what we call a second or any time interval, could be measured in any fraction. Doesn't have to be a specific little snippet of time. It could be stretched out or compressed a little more. How we measure distance, it could be meters or it could be miles or inches. And when you stay in inches, feet, and miles, that's when all this interesting correlation comes in. But I'm like, yeah, that is a little troubling. And I'm like, so I went on the hunt for something non-arbitrary in this whole grid, this whole matrix of information. And I found it by imagining myself to be one of these sky visitors. So I'm no longer the person on Earth seeing them come, I am the visiting race. So we are becoming such a race ourselves. I mean, if you go back in the last 200 years, the advancements we've made from just telescopes looking at planets to actually traveling and putting vehicles on planets, and soon, within for sure 5 to 10 years, we will be putting people on Mars. That's what an extraterrestrial is. So, I mean, just think of it. We are becoming very aware of the structure and nature and composition of these other planets. So I just extrapolated that and reverse engineered it and said, what if somebody's looking at Earth? So Earth does some very mechanical things. It has a certain spin rate that we call a day. It has a certain orbit rate around the sun we call a year, but it also has this wobble, a very slow wobble, like a top that is beginning to slow down and starting to wobble. Mm-hmm. That wobble takes exactly 25,920 orbits around the sun to complete. And if we divide it into 12, we get our astrological ages. That's where astrological ages come from.
Ah.
be a sonic geometry number, 2160, the sum total of a cube. It's like there's cross-referencing system of information that is no longer based on some arbitrary piece of information. It's grounded, like gears in a Swiss watch. It's grounded in the slow wobble of the Earth, like a telltale sign that is telling us, not if you get this correct, you will see that it is not happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's based on something that your Earth does, your planet does. So when that came to me and I started applying, now let's call it Sumerian or Anunnaki geometry, Sumerian and Anunnaki counting systems. Mm-hmm. So the counting system will lead you to 12 on one hand and then up to 60 on the other, because 5 times 12 is 60. So you get to 12 on one hand, and then you multiply it. So here we have the Earth's wobble, 25,920, as the beginning part of all these equations. And if you take your first 12 and divide the wobble by the first 12 of this counting system gifted to us by the Sumerians or the Anunnaki sky visitors, you get 2160, which is like I said, it's a geometric form. It's a cube. 25,920, next one down, divided by 24 in this counting system, 1080. 1080 is the sum total of a hexagon. An octagon, 8 sides. 25,920 divided by 36, you get exactly 720. That's the sum total of a hexagon. 25,920 divided by 48, the next number in the counting system, you get 540, the sum total of a pentagon. And lastly, you get 25,920 divided by 60, and you get this mystery number that Joseph Campbell found all over the world, 432. And this is the slide that will blow anybody's mind wide open. It doesn't matter how deep into the academic story they are. This should be impossible, that something that the Earth does, if you measure, divide it by geometry and this ancient counting system supposedly gifted to us by extraterrestrials, proves to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is an intelligence, a knowingness that gifted us with these clues, but didn't give the whole reveal away. It let it percolate for however long it was going to percolate until we started putting these puzzle pieces together. And other people like Joseph Campbell, knowing 432, was starting on this quest to put these puzzle pieces together. And that's where everything just became coincidence after coincidence after coincidence. If you take the Sumerian counting system, that's how we divide our days. There's 12 hours of day, and we multiply that times 60, and you get this crazy 432 number sequence, only it's 43,200. Mm-hmm. 12 hours of night times 60, you get the same 432 with zeros behind it. So the total number of seconds in a day is 86,400, meaning the number sequence is 864. The diameter of the sun in miles from the Sumerian counting system based on feet happens to be the exact same number, 864,000 miles across. And these coincidences just fall on you like an avalanche. If you're in the open frame of mind to receive them all, you are gobsmacked. You just go.
Great word. Indeed. Incredible. Eric, you make math fun.
Well, I had to, because I hate math, so it had to be fun for me.
If only we could have been studying this in high school.
One last thing of the 432 enigma.
Yes.
If you multiply 432 times itself, you get almost exactly the speed of light. That there is no velocity faster than we know of. So it's a critical measurement to have discovered. And all along in this 432 matrix that was gifted to us, we get exactly the speed of light within a 0.001% of accuracy. And that's another mind blower for people. It's like, how could all these important correlations happen if you just stay in this story that the Sumerians were telling us that happened 6,000 years ago, and it was an ancient alien encounter?
Eric, did you go in and do all these calculations? I mean, how did you know to start playing around with these numbers and say?
I just kept going. They were simple calculations to begin with, and then they were more complex. I did not discover this one. That's the screen that's showing right now. I heard this from I'll think of his name. He's on Ancient Aliens all the time. But and he probably didn't discover it, but he shared it, and that's where I saw it, that the Great Pyramid of Giza, if you multiply its base, the four sides of its base times 43,200, you get the circumference of our planet, a planet around the equator. And if you multiply the height of the Great Pyramid of Giza times 43,200, you get from the equator to the North Pole. So these are not coincidences. These are things I'm sure some race of some kind is looking at us just going, how many more clues do we have to get them before they start seeing what is really going on here?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean,
it's incredible.
I mean, so mind blowing. It's also heart opening at the same time. I mean, there's something.
Well,
about it
is, because the message I just showed a screen. Is there a message? Yes, there's a message that harmony is in the background of everything. And when you think of what the word harmony means, it means a system working beautifully, harmonically with itself. So that system could be music, but it could be lots of other things, including nature's designs. It's what's really interesting, though, is that nature's design reveal the same musical harmony as this grid system to the exact, to the number. If you launch any spiral, which we call the Fibonacci sequence, whether it's a seashell or a spiral of a galaxy, the first six steps will be the exact same tones that I showed you earlier. It's absolutely mind-blowing that, and yet maybe not, because a race more advanced, a species more advanced than us, would understand this mathematical formulations and know that these perfect harmonics are revealed in those mathematics. So any spiral you see, just know that the launch of it from zero to its way of becoming some much more complex pattern was the exact same harmonic triad.
Bravo. Yep, here we are, taking a look at it. Mm-hmm. You can just feel it. I mean, the minute we look
right.
at it. So
this idea of maybe communicating with extraterrestrials through sound frequencies or a sequence of sound frequencies is actually a probably not very far-fetched way of saying that we have gotten your information. We've understood the correlation between sound frequency, and we will communicate back to you those frequencies saying we've come this far. So that's where I think we're at right now, is beginning to understand that sound frequency will be probably the opening of the channel to communicate with these species.
Bravo. Eric, for those, again, that are listening up on YouTube right now, Eric's showing pictures of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I 100% was going to reference that. One of my favorite movies. And
Mine too.
Truly just absolutely, I mean, think about it. It's been some time ago since Spielberg made that. And yet,
78.
Right? And I don't know who wrote it or where the information came from, but wisdom for sure. I mean, we're on to something.
Well, the idea, so Steven Spielberg wrote a lot of it, but the ideas, I'm sure he drew from different things that he was learning. And he actually went out to the Integratron and met with George Van Tassel, the builder of that white domed building, a couple of times. So I'm almost halfway. There's nothing that could be proven because George Van Tassel's dead. And I don't know if Steven Spielberg would share much more, but the idea of using frequency sequences to say we have gotten something from you and we're going to resonate them, we're going to echo them back to you as like a greeting, almost like a love letter that gets answered back to this race trying to communicate with us. That's exactly what Close Encounters was. And even though it was a random set of tones for the movie, the idea of it and using the tones of harmonics that the universe is built upon makes a lot of sense to me.
We don't have to go too deep dive on this because you've got so much to share, but I do want to ask you, did you listen to some of the music? Have you gone, since you've had this wisdom and some study, have you gone in and taken the listen to what they chose to come up with as far as?
Yeah, it was random. They already knew that they had John Carpenter on board to, or John Williams on board to do the soundtrack for Close Encounters. And Steven Spielberg said, just give me five tones in a sequence and let me hear a few. And Williams composed like 50 different versions of a five-tone set. And when Steven Spielberg heard da 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 da, he goes, "That's it." It made no sense. It had no mathematical properties to it or ratio aspects to it. It sounds like it does in the movie, but the way that they decided on it was totally just random.
Yeah, fantastic though, for sure. You know, I had a Eric. I was we talked about this on a pre-call, but I did have a chance to see the Integratron. If anybody's out our way in Southern California, it's in the vicinity of Joshua Tree. It's a very special place. You have to plan ahead. Eric, are you doing lectures there at this point?
You know, we did all last year through COVID, and things got a little dicey in, did we know we could go in? Did we know what people's requirements were going to be? So we kind of both took a break. I did, and the owners, and they've had to restructure how they do their sound baths there. And I have not done, I do not have a schedule for 2022 yet for the first time in 10 years. Don't know what the future holds there, but I've, you know, had hosted thousands of people over there for the in day-long workshops at the Integratron. And for sure, had it not been for the Integratron, I would not have ever gone down this sonic geometry rabbit hole, for sure.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, it's truly, I mean, what resonance, you know, what an experience. So talk to us about, okay, some of the different applications. So we've taken a look at the divine mathematics and how it works with form. So what about our human body? I mean, what about the healing aspect? Because I know the Integratron speaks to that. And what do you know and what's your experience with some of the tuning that can be done to help heal?
Well, like if you remember Star Trek, if you're a Star Trek geek like I am, they had this device called the tricorder. And the tricorder was just this scanner. It was this non-invasive technology. I'm sure the day will come that we will look back on the way we do surgery now, the way we look at the way surgery was done 150 years ago in the Civil War, you know, just having people bite on bullets and take a swig of whiskey and lop their arms off with a, you know, a saw. It will seem barbaric what we are doing today, because it will all be sound based. It will be frequency based. It will be light based. I'm entirely confident of that. And I think that is what we are being guided to. And frequency as an activator makes a lot of sense. So if we go back to this slide, a close up of that Anunnaki sky visitor holding this pine cone, you see that this pineal reference is all over the world itself, as its own graphic, as being something huge, hugely important. So this picture's inside the or outside the Vatican. Right in the middle of the Vatican is this giant pine cone. And we're all familiar with this caduceus. You see it on hospitals and ambulances. That's another Sumerian symbol. That the very first time that image was ever landed on this planet was from these sky visitors as well. And what we don't know is that usually these two snakes going up the straight staff are looking up or meeting or activating a pine cone shaped structure. So that if you say, well, that pineal activation is what possibly these frequencies, these tritones, these holy trinity of major tone, mathematically perfect as revealed by the geometry that nature uses to build everything, including us, that the purpose of these frequencies could be to activate that pineal pattern. And when that pineal pattern opens up, you get to see into the universe. And some people will journey there by plant medicines, ayahuasca or psilocybin mushrooms or LSD. And you'll see literally, if you do your first experience and tell people about it that have done it before, they'll go, well, did you see the grid? And usually the grid in some sort of capacity is what you will see. Some people who meditate that don't do any plant medicines will see it, but I'm convinced now that sound plays a role in facilitating this opening up, activation, spinning of the pineal pattern that allows us to see into the very geometric essence, the energetic geometric essence of our entire universe. And once we get there, we are no longer just this outlier of all this information. We are incorporating it into our daily lives, into our health, into our activation of knowing more information. So just by chance, I worked with a lab that uses sound frequencies to reveal standing wave patterns. And when we played that perfect tritone, mathematically perfect tritone chord, they had never seen this before. It created a lotus, what looked like a dimensional lotus blossom, which is a symbol for enlightenment. And I'm just like, how is it that by chance, and they've never seen this. And if you're looking at this image right now,
right,
that it looks like a deep structure, like you can see flower petals hiding behind and underneath other flower petals. And this is all just by those three tones activating a small little dish of water and taking a picture of it. So this
absolutely
is a
wondrous discovery. Truly wondrous.
Yeah.
Eric. No, it's just so great. I mean, there's just example after example of the harmony of it all. And yet here I am talking to you, you know, not to date this conversation, but hey, we're, you know, our world needs harmony right now more than ever.
More than ever. And I'm trusting that we hopefully will get to this place. It doesn't need to be a majority of people, I don't believe, that become aware of this information and know how to employ it. And I'm convinced that these frequencies will be involved in it. It could be through what medium are they played, what volume are they played, what in what substrate are they played, in what octave are they played. I mean, there's millions of variables even with these three simple tones. And I don't know how much time we go, but I could go into the geometry of us and space-time real quickly, or we could just end here.
We're going to do it. Well, I think we're going to do that real quickly. I can't just, you know, if you're offering to let us know that, I need to know, please.
Okay. So right after Sonic Geometry 1 came out, that was in the fall of 2013, had a wonderful friend of mine create the entire video by herself. And the video quality is actually quite good. And it's amazing. And I thought, I have shared every bit of information I will ever know. But as soon as I was done, more information started coming through. Met this artist who says he discovered, and that's not quite fully true. Leonardo da Vinci saw this geometric form. Buckminster Fuller saw this form, but it is true that very few humans have acknowledged this form. And it goes into the teachings of this physicist back in the days of Tesla, late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was Walter Russell. And he says, our obsession with straight line geometry is off. It is not how nature works. Everything is more waveform, like frequency. And Alan Watts, the philosopher, he said, nature is wiggly. Trees, leaves, us, waves, clouds, everything has got this undulating aspect to it. Why are we fixed on straight lines and hard angles and sharp points? And Alan Watts said everything is wiggly. If we look at what's called the Holy Grail in dimensional geometry, it looks like this. This is called a tetrahedron. And what we've discovered through this artist, Michael Evans, who said he noticed a new form, there is a smaller geometric form, and the way you get to it is curving the lines. It's still a geometric form. It still has points, it still has edges, and it still has planes, but instead of four planes, four sides, it only has three. And it looks much more organic. It looks like a leaf or a seed pod or our eyes. And this shape, when it is 60 degrees of arc, starts becoming an incredible device to build our universe on. And I will leave you with that. So this is much like in the movie Contact. We had received in the movie thousands and thousands of pages of information from these extraterrestrials, but we couldn't make sense of them. And the rich millionaire that funded Jodie Foster's research said, we're just not thinking the way an extraterrestrial, a more advanced race would be. We need to be thinking not in 2D, in two dimensions, flat. We need to be thinking in multiple dimensions. So I'll show you real quick. I'm going to have to run away from my screen and take. But what the billionaire in Contact said is there was a primer set, just a very simple device set to launch us into a deeper knowing about the universe. Hmm. So I'm going to show you.
All right. I'm definitely intrigued here. Contact was one of my another one of those favorite movies.
Yes. So if I show you this form in very real time, I'm holding it. This is what a trion ray looks like. It's very fascinating. If you look at it from one angle, it looks just like a triangle or maybe even a tetrahedron. But if you rotate it, you'll see that it is this arc.
Wow.
And one of these arcs is the arc of sacred geometry. It's 60 degrees or 1/6 of a circle. Well, Buckminster Fuller said there is a form that is revealed, and we see, just like the number 432, in ancient civilizations all over the world, we see the launch of sacred geometry, this flower petal design of 60 degrees.
Yeah.
It's in Indonesia, this is in Italy, this is in Egypt, this is in Japan, this is in Israel.
Incredible.
This is a crop circle that has very much the similar geometry, but all of those are, if we apply a structure that Buckminster Fuller called the geometry of God, and it is a unique structure called the vector equilibrium, and it looks like this. Well, that's still straight lines, hard angles, flat planes. If we reimagine it, the exact same architecture, but we reimagine it using that structure that looks much more organic, we get this. So it's this, it's revealing the exact same 12 vertices building the exact same 3D structure. And now here I am holding one of these structures in my hand.
Beautiful.
See how it will support that geometric structure that Buckminster Fuller called the vector equilibrium. And
wow.
This is something I built. And I am going to show you a real life model that is usually too fragile to take anywhere. And I'm going to, this is a very much aha moment.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Show and tell with Eric. Eric is taking some of our subjects of math and geometry, which always were head scratchers for me in school, and just pretty much
too.
Blowing
so
my mind.
Here's this star cluster structure. You see that?
Yes.
Now, I built that star cluster structure out of pipe cleaners, and I don't know if you can see it there. But
oh,
it's
yes. Oh, my gosh.
See this ball right here? That would be the center of it. And it made its own star, and I just let the geometry keep building itself. And it built this incredible pyramidal structure, and I only went 4 layers deep, and I had no idea that when I was done, it would reveal sacred geometry in 2D.
Oh, Eric, that is just grand.
So this primer that, the movie Contact talked about, I believe sacred geometry is a primer opening us up to that exact geometric modeling. And I was so lucky. I host my own podcast. We had one of the top physicists in the world come down to Laguna from Venice Beach, is where he lives, Marina del Rey. He came into my apartment, he saw that structure, and he goes, "Where'd you get your physics degree?" And I said, "I never took a physics class in my life." He said, "How did you build that structure?" And I said, "It just kind of came to me in its own unique way." And he goes, "That's the most beautiful structure representing the quantum universe I've ever seen."
Oh, that's,
and it's just built on sacred geometry in 4 dimensions. Also, if you peel away, so here it is back on the screen. It's enclosed by itself. There's that star cluster in the middle, enclosed by itself. Well, if you imagine it as being totally see-through, it gives you the beautiful architecture of an atom. So,
yes.
So much information is in these very simple symbols and math systems and stories, and we've overlooked them, but now we're beginning to put these puzzle pieces together.
Truly.
I think
it's everywhere. I mean, down to our, atomical structure.
Exactly. All that we're made of, and the double spin, the two snakes, that's perfect representation for our 2-strand spiraling DNA.
Also, right. Indeed. Oh, my gosh. Well, we could go on and on and on, but I think you're just going to have to join us again for another episode because, like you said, you keep learning. And so we want to know because I think it's just incredibly inspiring in some ways. I'm awestruck. It's almost where to begin. I encourage everybody. We've got a great link to explore more about what Eric has done, including his book that he wrote, again, mentioning the dolphins from the beginning. The dolphins basically educated you on this. And
they certainly launched my journey into it.
Oh, well, no. That's so beautiful. And there's just absolutely so much to know. So, do visit and explore more about how we can learn. I mean, again, I think that when you just come together and you see there's a beauty to this. This isn't just this isn't just an aha. This is, I think the word comes back to harmony, harmonics.
Absolutely.
Harmony.
It's that is the perfect word. It is harmony. And it's an invitation, from this species or intelligence that we have not fully identified, but it's an invitation to move ourselves, become a part of this harmonic symphonic structure, because right now we are not. No species does what we do, kills its own kind, destroys the things we built, makes our plant, our living space less inhabitable with everything we seem to do. We are inharmonic right now. And unless we find a way to get ourselves back into harmony of the entire system, we won't be around forever. And something else will, you know, come in for sure with no hard feelings. It was just us doing it to ourselves.
It's a natural law. I know. I really feel that. That's amazing. Okay. But we're going to, we don't want to, it's a warning. It definitely is a warning and a message and for everyone to hear.
Definitely. It's not, we're coming into this information while there's still time to turn it around. And that's up to every single individual, including this war that's ramping up. Einstein said, you know, war ends the minute that every person says, I'm not going to pull the trigger or push the button or whatever it is their involvement is. The choice has to be individual, and enough individuals make the choice to be community-minded and support each other. That's the tipping point for our species and staying around on this planet to truly grow into the master creators that I think we're only stepping into that road right now.
Eric, that's why we do the show. I mean, that's what Truth Be Told, right? I mean, there's some beautiful truths that you have been telling. So thank you very, very much for being here. This is incredible. And I hope you'll come back again soon.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Best wishes. And
thank
to
you very
all.
Much.
And I'm going to wrap up with that. Again, this is Truth Be Told, Transformation. We're hoping that this talk and all of the episodes really help provide an awakening to transform to a higher life. And so thank you for listening. We hope that you'll share and subscribe and like and all that stuff, because this is important info to reveal. I'm Bonnie Burkert with new episodes every Wednesday. Tony Sweet has his show live on Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific, and Robert Hensley on Mondays at 3 p.m. with the Minuteman Report. So do join us, and until then, keep that vibe very, very high.